baby back door, baby fall off, sipping codeine cause I got a killer cough. Let me sit sideways in the big bins. Oh, you boys, they my brothers, they my friends.
There's not one guy, one person in the history of this program that's bigger than the program.
Mayfield on play action.
You're listening to Brandon Drum and Parker Thune. This is the OU Insider Under the Visor Podcast.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another OU Insider Under the Visor Sooners podcast powered by Riverwind Casino. My name is Brandon Drum, here with Parker Thune, and it is still portal season. We are still in the ether of college football portal. Lots going on there. We are going to talk about that. We're going to talk about recruiting as Oklahoma picked up two big commitments at the Navy All-American game this past weekend. We were down at the Combine leading up to that as well, with lots to talk about there. And what's left? Roster. Where's OU got to move? They got to pick up an offensive lineman. They got to pick up some depth at a few other places. They just got a defensive tackle out of the portal yesterday that we will discuss as well. Got a wide receiver from Washington State. There is so much to talk about as Oklahoma looks to finish out their roster for 26. But before we do all that, Parker, let us thank our sponsors.
Yes, indeed. Riverwind Casino is our presenting sponsor. Folks, Riverwind has been the metro area's premier gaming destination for nearly two decades now. Almost 3,000 electronic games, table games, bars, and dining options, plus the best live music in the metro. It's no surprise that Riverwind is always a good time. Shout out as well to our friends at Jana King, the greatest team to ever clean and a proud partner of OU Athletics, delivering spotless results and solutions from stadiums to any size business across the country. Check out which of their solutions is best for you or your business by going to janiking.com. That's JANIKING.com. And finally, a word from Mando Whole Body Deodorant. Folks, some men mask their BO with scents. Mando men get the job done right. Don't mask it, Mando it. Mando is safe to use anywhere on your body. It was created by a doctor who saw firsthand how often BO was being misdiagnosed and mistreated. Mando is clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours, formulated and powered by mandelic acid to stop odor before it starts. Available in retailers near you, or if you don't want to have to go out and make a physical trip to the store, you can just head to shopmando.com, because for a limited time, new customers are going to get 20% off site-wide with our exclusive code. Use code INSIDER at shopmando.com for 20% off site-wide, plus free shipping. That's shopmando.com. Please support our show. Tell them we sent you.
All right. Let's start with, I guess, the most pressing and biggest news that Oklahoma got over the weekend, or just the last few days, I guess, just because it's pertinent for 2026, which is what most people care about, the 2026 roster. And there was a hole at defensive tackle that is now filled by one Georgia State's Bishop Thomas.
Yes, indeed.
And he's a good player. He's built a lot like Grayson Halton, You look at him physically, you look at his weight, his size, the way he plays. The difference is he's never been taught by Todd Bates, and you're going to hope that 8 months of Todd Bates will get him right, and he will be able to be one of the more pass-rushing defensive tackles that they need. They have David Stone. You figure he's going to be one of the better pass rushers for you on third down. And this year it was. It was David Stone, and it was Grayson Halton in there at third down most of the time. So, you needed one of those players, Parker. You got him. Now we'll see what happens there as far as his production in 26. What's your overall thoughts?
Yeah, my thoughts, I mean, for where we are in the portal window for the options that are out there, I think Bishop Thomas is about as good as it gets. This is a guy that has P4 experience at both Florida State and Colorado. Yep. Had the detour to Georgia State, had 48 tackles last season. So given that Oklahoma pivoted from Alex Van Sumeren to Thomas, what this suggests to me is OU, for whatever reason, whatever their philosophy on this particular addition may be, they want a guy who's a prolific tackler. And Bishop Thomas fits that bill. And yeah, you know, talking to Thomas last night, shortly after he announced his commitment to Oklahoma, he said, look, the OU staff told me that I reminded them of Grayson Halton. That's who they want me to be. And Oklahoma is in a position where they didn't necessarily need a starter at that position. They have David Stone. They have Jaden Jackson. Those are the guys that are going to lead the charge within the committee. But no doubt, you need more than that. You need additional depth. You needed a Marcus Strong replacement in many ways. And that's what Bishop Thomas is. Yes, he plays similar to Grayson Halton, but more practically, he's a replacement for Marcus Strong. You knew you were losing Grayson Halton, I should say. You knew you were losing Dominic Williams. What you didn't necessarily know or were as aware of was that you'd also be losing Marcus Strong at season's end. So for Oklahoma, they needed somebody to come in and be that third guy in the rotation. We'll see how ready somebody like Trent Wilson is to make the jump, or somebody like Brian Harris, even if we're looking at the true freshmen as potential contributors. But to me, that's what this is about, is just finding a guy that can be a reliable third option. Is he going to play 40 snaps a game? Maybe not, but you know, if you need to spell either Stone or Jaden Jackson, this is a dude that's going to be able to come in and pull his weight.
You know who gets lost in the shuffle of this whole ordeal with defensive tackle? Like, we don't ever talk about him. Nigel Smith.
Mm-hmm.
You remember how ballyhooed he was coming out of high school? Like, that was a big deal. And it was, the question was, is he a defensive tackle or is he a defensive end coming out of high school? Oklahoma said, we're going to give him a chance at defensive end. They did that. They gave him a chance. He put on enough weight to where they slid him inside the defensive tackle. And you can tell he's probably still learning the position a little bit, learning how to play inside. Because I don't know that he's ever really done that, Parker, up until Oklahoma said, guess what, bro? You're playing inside from here on out. And he loves the university enough that he is willing to stick around. He's willing to work his way up. I have a lot of respect for that because of who he is and everybody that wanted him coming out of high school. Have you heard anything about him? Like, have you heard any buzz? Have you heard any of him being in the rotation, a chance? Because I'm just as guilty. Like, I leave him out of a lot of the rotations. Maybe I shouldn't whenever I'm writing down the depth.
Yeah, well, I mean, for a guy like that, you know, by no means do you want to disregard him in the picture. Yeah. But also, it's fair to acknowledge we haven't seen Nigel Smith play a meaningful snap yet for Oklahoma. He's seen garbage time action, and that's about it. So you can kind of throw him in the same breath, in the same conversation as guys like Trent Wilson and Brian Harris and Tank Carrington coming in, right? Guys that could have an impact, but are you betting on it? Well, if you're a gambling man, perhaps, but the much safer bet is a guy like Bishop Thomas is going to come in and immediately be the primary complement to David Stone and Jaden Jackson.
Yeah. They rotate four quite a bit. So the battle between Trent Wilson and Nigel Smith to see who's going to be that fourth defensive tackle is going to be one of the more intriguing spring storylines for me, because I think that to me is the bigger picture than anything else. You needed that third piece. You got him. You got him in Bishop Thomas. Now you need that fourth guy that last year they had four guys. They had Jaden Jackson, they had David Stone, they had Grayson Halton, and they had Dominic Williams. And, you know, two of the four are going to be in the draft this year. And they're probably going to get drafted in the first three or four rounds, you would surmise, I guess. Oklahoma also picked up a, and I don't want to butcher the last name, so I will defer to you on the last name there.
Yeah, here's the problem. Here's the problem. I don't know either, because I have inquired with three different parties who you would imagine should know authoritatively. And I got three different pronunciations.
Okay, so I'm not going to feel so bad for saying McKenzie Aleem.
I'm going with Elaine until further notice.
Okay,
we'll go. That with seems Aleem. Most intuitive to me. Okay. I have also been told alternatively it is Aileen and or Eileen. I don't know, man. We're gonna.
How did they get Eileen out of that?
I don't have a clue.
Aileen, because the word Allie is actually in there with N-E.
I'm going with Elaine until we know better. But yes, we will wait for definitive word McKenzie from Mike Elaine. Houck and the OU AFCOM staff on that. I am going with McKenzie Elaine for the time being.
Okay, so there you go. McKenzie Elaine out of Washington State was a former walk-on. I guess you would assume that Ben Arbuckle liked him a lot. Liked him enough that they went after him. They needed another piece. They obviously missed out on Julius Jones from Owosso, the 2026 wide receiver, ended up picking Kansas State.
Julius Wilson.
Why do I say Julius Jones every time? Every time, Julius Jones. Julius Wilson. And I'm literally the first person I ever watched the kid, too. That's the worst part, too.
You were the first person that ever watched him?
Yeah, as a freshman in high school. I saw him as a freshman.
Did he play as a freshman in high school?
No, he was a rotational piece, but I got told he was going to be really, really good.
No, I'm talking like, did he play football?
Yes, he played. Yes,
oh,
he played
as a
freshman. Yes. Anyways, long story short, they missed out on him. Weird as can be. Chose Kansas State over him, which in the world of NIL, Oklahoma wasn't offering NIL for him. Like, we're going to be just straight up honest. So they got Elaine. Elaine. He made his first touchdown, what, in the bowl game, Parker?
Yes, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl.
Okay. What do you see as him as far as production? Do you think he can produce this year?
I mean, I think he could if he were given the opportunity. I don't know that there are going to be many opportunities for him when you look at the composition of that wide receiver room right now. You have Parker Livingston coming in. You have Trell Harris coming in. You presumably have Isaiah Satania coming back. There has been no announcement to the contrary, nor do we expect one. And then you have Elijah Thomas and you have Manny Choice that are ready to step into larger roles there. And this ought to be the year where you start to get meaningful contributions from those guys. They kind of got their feet wet this past year on special teams. You've got JerMichael Carter coming back. You've got Jacob Jordan coming back as well. So Oklahoma has seven guys right there that I mentioned, in addition to a couple of incoming true freshmen that are going to be good enough to see snaps right off the bat in Jaden Petit and Jasir Rogers. We'll see. Daniel Odom could enter that conversation as well. As we've discussed with Xavier Okafelaze, that's probably a guy that needs a year. But three of Oklahoma's four are dudes that could make a year one impact in the true freshman class. And so snaps are going to be at a premium for guys that don't have a ton of experience under their belts at the P4 level. Like, obviously, there are going to be plenty of snaps to go around for the veterans in the room. Not only Satania and Livingston and Harris, but a guy like JerMichael Carter, you'll see plenty of him. You'll see plenty of Elijah Thomas and Manny Choice and Jacob Jordan. But beyond those seven, I would say, man, it's going to be a dog-eat-dog world where you gotta fight tooth and nail for every single opportunity that you get, especially once non-conference play wraps up.
Yeah, I'm more excited probably, and it's no offense to Elaine. I'm more excited about Elijah Thomas than I am anybody else this coming season. As far as rotational pieces, as far as guys that I think can come in and be that fourth, fifth wide receiver for Oklahoma. The expectation for Elijah Thomas, everything that we've heard about Elijah Thomas. And look, you know that Elaine's going to come in and know Arbuckle's system. Mm. Like, that's a guarantee. And so, outside of that, I just don't know. Like, because the step up, like, if he's just now getting his first touchdown at the FBS level, mind you, in the bowl game, right, in Idaho, I just don't know. I just don't know how I can sit here and look at him and unequivocally say that he's going to be a rotational piece for Oklahoma.
Yeah, I think he's depth. I think that's a fair assessment.
You know who he reminds me of?
Who's that?
Tease. Back in the day. Just a really good slot depth piece.
Interesting.
Does that make sense?
Like, it does. I can see where you're coming from on that.
I mean, you knew the dude could play, and I feel like we know Elaine can come in. We know he can play. It's just, I don't know that he can be a consistent guy year one at Oklahoma. I think there's going to be more steps needed. Look, I hope I'm wrong. I hope the dude comes in and balls out. But your wide receiver unit right now, Trell Harris, Parker Livingston, I'll just say Elijah Satania, right? Or Isaiah Satania. And then Elijah Thomas. Those would be the four top guys if I was going to pick. Would you pick Elijah Thomas as your fourth?
I would probably roll with Jermichael Carter for now. Mm-hmm.
I see why you say that.
But yeah, I'm a big Jermichael Carter guy.
You are.
Now,
you are.
Elijah Thomas probably has the highest ceiling of any wide receiver on the roster right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, before I go there, I want to see what kind of buzz we're hearing on ET and his level of readiness, not just his level of talent, but his level of readiness.
Yeah.
Physically and mentally come fall camp.
Yeah, for sure. On the other hand, Oklahoma also picked up a massive, massive duo of commits at the Navy All-American game this past weekend. And look, they had a bunch. Well, you and I both posted a photo of all the commits, sans, you know, Jonathan Hatton, who is Jonathan. Jonathan Hatton's Jonathan Hatton. I mean, you're not going to get him to take a photo, even in the middle of an All-American game. It's just not who he is. He's all business. He's from Cibolo, so that it comes with the territory. But I guess let's start with the higher-ranked one in linebacker. He's an edge for all intents and purposes in high school, but Oklahoma got him as a linebacker in four-star Rivals 300. Taven Epps out of California, formerly committed to Texas, decommitted, and is now a Sooner. That seems to be the theme over the last month, Oklahoma taking former Texas people. So, you and I both watched him be a freaking, just a battering ram on kickoffs. Mm-hmm. At the All-American game. I mean, that dude was taking guys' heads off. The crowd, every time he hit somebody, was going, ooh, you could just hear it throughout the whole crowd. And he's fun.
He's an incredibly impressive player.
Yes, he is.
Because he has excellent size for a linebacker.
His length is insane.
Yeah, 6'4", in the neighborhood of 220 pounds. I mean, looks like a college linebacker already. But he moves exceptionally well. He's very instinctual. He's aggressive, but, you know, I use the phrase controlled aggression a lot when we're talking about linebackers, because that's the type of aggression you have to play with, right? It can't just be, running all over the field like a chicken with your head cut off. No, there has to be a purpose. And Taven Epps, best way I can put it is he's a guy that gets it. He gets the position. And when you pair that with the outstanding physical traits he has as well, I think you're looking at a guy that, if developed properly in Brent Venables' system, and obviously provided he avoids the injury bug, I think you're looking at a guy that's a high-round NFL draft pick one day. I am buying a lot of Taven Epps stock very early on in the process here.
Yeah, I'm a huge, huge fan of his. He's the linebacker move I get. Like, his length is there for edge, but at the same time, you can see it in how he strikes people, how he hits. Like, he stops you in your track. If you can teach play recognition, if you can teach diagnosing what's going to happen before it happens, the way that you feel like Brent Venables, Nate Dreiling, all those guys can James Skalski, all those guys can teach at Oklahoma, because their linebacker units are just, the linebacker unit is never a problem at Oklahoma. And it shouldn't be if those are the guys in charge. And I think he's a natural. I think what we see just off kickoff, right? The way he strikes, the way he hits, the way he enjoys full speed contact. You got to have a little crazy in you to be a linebacker. Taven's got a little crazy in him.
He does.
And he's really good at it. And so I love the pickup. I think his speed is going to translate in the SEC. I think his size is, he's already a natural as far as size goes for an SEC linebacker. I really, really like the get. It feels right. And then, you know, on the flip side, I'll let you talk a little bit about the second commit, because you talked to him, you broke it down a little bit for everybody on OU Insider.
Devin Robertson, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 6'1", 320 pounds, 3-star defensive tackle that had some of the biggest schools in the nation chasing his pledge. So don't be fooled by the 3-star label. I think this, to me, Brandon, is a player that's very Jaden Jackson adjacent. Like, when you're looking for super traitsy guys at defensive tackle, this was kind of the reason why everybody was so much higher on David Stone in the rankings, scouting evaluation world than Jaden Jackson out of high school, is because Stone is just a lot more traitsy, right? But Jaden Jackson is a really solid, really polished, really tenacious football player who's got a wide base and a ton of strength and a ton of nastiness, and he just kind of sits down there in the trenches and you can't move him.
Yeah,
and that's the way it is with Devin Robertson. Like, physically, when you're looking at the height and the length and, you know, all of the traditional hallmarks that get evaluated, he's not a guy that's going to blow you away, but his measurables suit his style of play very nicely. And, you know, when you're a defensive tackle, more often than not, you're not going to flash in a game like this in terms of having opportunities to make highlight real plays. That's really not something you're going to get much of as a defensive tackle at any level in any context. But Devin Robertson was a guy that throughout the game absolutely held his own against some of the best offensive linemen in the nation playing in the U.S. Navy All-American Bowl. And just, you know, he was a tough guy to move down there in the trenches. Mm-hmm. And he was getting that push. And I don't know what Oklahoma's going to want to do with him physically once he shows up, if they're going to want to have him cut weight a little bit, or just like, I think there does need to be there needs to be a little bit of refinement of the body composition. But I think you're looking at a guy that has all of the tools to show up, and provided that refinement takes place, he can be an early impact guy just as Jaden Jackson was.
Yeah, I talked to somebody about him pretty thoroughly the other day after we watched him play. The first time we went to the practice, we watched him. We got to see them do, you know, some one-on-ones. We got to see them do team. We got to see them do quite a bit. And what I was told was they like him as a zero tech a lot. Kind of like you said, Jaden Jackson, one of those guys that the immovable object in the trenches. And he's not as twitchy as Jaden Jackson. I mean, it's hard to find a dude built like Jaden Jackson that's as twitchy as Jaden Jackson.
Those guys don't come around all that often.
No, Jaden Jackson is Jaden Jackson for a reason. He's every accolade that he ever got, and the reason why most people see him as a first round pick is because not only is he immovable, but that dude is twitchy. And you know, Devin Robertson, he's twitchy, but he's not as twitchy. And you know, they like him as that, you know, zero tech, one eye type guy. Overall, you know, he's going to be a good run stopping defensive tackle. You want to know I'll just say the person I spoke with at Oklahoma, you know who they said he reminds them of?
Who's that?
A young Dominique Williams.
Can see that as well.
Mm-hmm. And the difference between Dominique Williams and Jaden Jackson, both immovable, right? Both great run stoppers. The difference is Jaden Jackson's a much better pass rusher because he's twitchier. Well, that's not to say Devin Robertson can't become this pass rusher. But for right now, you like him. Three out of four times, they would pull him out on third down and bring in a Grayson Halton or a David Stone or Jaden Jackson in that position, depending on who was in that at that rotation with him at that time. And there was some frustration there. I'll admit, like, now that he's gone, we've talked to his people, Parker. We know there was frustration. The reason for the holdup the last year for him coming back was because they wanted more third downs. They wanted guaranteed more third down options for his draft. Mm-hmm. And that became a reality. Oh, you promised it? They kept up with that promise. And you wonder why they kept up with it? Because Dominique Williams worked his ass off to become a really good, not really good, but a good pass rusher this time around. He had more sacks than he ever had in his career in a season. And that's because of his hard work. And I think that's where you're going to see Robertson at. Like, he's going to develop into that as his career goes on, as his body and his frame and the weight redistributes, you know, and he refines his body into and molds it into what it needs to be to become that big time SEC defensive tackle. Nonetheless, he's a really good get. You talk to everybody around the All-American game that watched him for 5-6 days, and they're like, that dude is untapped. That dude has a chance to be really good. And Parker, I think he's going to end up being a 4-star.
Really?
I don't. You don't?
I don't, just because, you know, I think, I don't
not
know.
Not top 300, but like for me, like, you know, that 450 type 4-star.
I think he winds up staying a high 3, and it goes back to the traitsiness. Like, he's never going to be an evaluator's favorite prospect in terms of projecting to the NFL. And we could have had the same conversation with Jaden Jackson 2-3 years ago. And in many ways, we were having the same conversation.
We did.
Jaden Jackson got the opportunity to go to IMG, play a national schedule, and dominate. Yeah. If something like that were to happen for Devin Robertson, then maybe. But right now, I'm operating under the assumption that just based on who he is as a prospect in terms of the measurables, and again, the traits. At 6'1", 320, I think that's a guy that continues to occupy the high rungs of 3-star status, because he's a good player, but he's going to be looked upon as a low ceiling guy, I think, by many that handle the scouting and the rankings.
And he's every bit of only 6'1". He looks you and I right in the eye.
Yes. Yeah. He's not very tall.
Right in the eye. And Parker and I are about 6'1", and he looks us square in the eye. So Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, it was a great weekend for Oklahoma overall. But I got to say, though, who was your favorite prospect at the combine?
My
outside of Mikhail McCreary, yeah, like he dominated. That dude was, that was a bad, bad man right there. But we'll talk about him. But outside of the, who was your favorite unknown now? Because I think we're probably going to have the same one.
We might.
My guess.
You go first. I want to see if we're on the same wavelength.
I'm Garcon. Or Garcon, or he's got a French last name.
Garcon Carson. Is that who you're thinking of?
Garcon Carson. Yeah. That dude.
Big old defensive lineman from Mississippi.
He's J.C. Latham. It's J.C. Latham for me all over again. Built exactly. And when I sent photos to some people that I know in the college football world at multiple schools, they all said the same thing. J.C. Latham. And I was like, thank you. That's exactly what I was telling people. And he has the... his lower body, Parker, is insanity. It's insane. You and I both looked. We're like, holy crap.
Yes. That, I mean, like, surefire, oh, surefire blue chip dude in the 2028 class. Like, sometimes you don't have to overthink it at all. You can just look at a guy and watch him take a few reps and go, yep, that's a top 150 dude in the nation in his class. And that's what he's going to be.
And he's only played, this is only his second year of football. We'll get you right back to the video, but first I want to thank one of our sponsors, Refine You Med Spa. Achieving a healthy weight can be challenging to do on your own, but you're not alone. The skilled team at Refine You Med Spa offers treatments that complement weight loss goals and long-term weight loss support, so you achieve a weight that supports good health and self-esteem. You can achieve your ideal look and feel with Refine You state-of-the-art practices that offers a diverse selection of aesthetic treatments, providing services that benefit every body shape and skin type. Whether you got skin tags, sunspots, whether you want to lose weight around your midsection, they offer the P-shot, the O-shot. Whether your girlfriend or fiance or wife loves Botox, lip filler, Daxxify, all that type of stuff, laser treatments as well, skin tightening, skin surface treatments, all of that. They have that for you at Refine You Med Spa. You can do that with like a gift card. I use those all the time for my wife at Refine You Med Spa. It's a great, great gift, whether it's Christmas, Valentine's Day, anniversary, birthday, what have you. Refine You Med Spa has also been the number one rated med spa in Oklahoma City by 405 Magazine for the past 6 consecutive years. They don't sell procedures. They sell results. So make sure you give the team at Refine You a call at 405-849-5391 or go to refineyouokc.com to set up a free consultation. This is only the second year of football. Like, it's unbelievable. I have film, and I haven't posted it yet. I've been kind of sitting on it, and I'm going to post them today. So everybody that's watching this, you guys can go and get some reference. The guy is... when I post the videos and the photos of him, you guys are going to go, yes, Oklahoma, go after him. And I'm going to tell you all this. I fully expect Oklahoma to offer him, by the way. He is going to blow up. I think he has Miami right now. Who's the other one? Miami,
Florida Atlantic. That's it.
Ole Miss is offered too, I believe.
Have they?
Mississippi State. Yeah. I got sent, hold on, and I'll tell you who it is. I got everything in a text, like all his information sent to me by a buddy of mine. Ole Miss, Southern Miss, Western Kentucky, Old Dominion, Miami, Ohio, UNLV, FAU have offered. 6'5", 280. He looks way bigger than 280. When you look at him, when you look at his lower body, he looks way bigger. Garcon Carson is from Lanier High School in Jackson, Mississippi. So I bet you DW, Demetri Warren, is going to be all over that because he lives in Jackson, Mississippi. So I would imagine he will know of him pretty well. And I got to hit him up about that, by the way. the Under Armour guy. Who else did you like at the camp?
It was a hard guy not to like, but I think that the guy that really stole the show, maybe had the best individual performance all day long, was Zion Green, 2028 defensive back out of Jacksonville, Florida. That's a dude, like, he's so wiry. He's tall, but he's wiry. He's 6'2", 6'3", but probably not more than like 165 pounds.
Dude, he's so skinny.
He is so technically savvy, though. It is hard, Brandon, in a context, in a setting like that, to really dominate a camp from the defensive back position. He locked everybody down. He strapped everybody up, man. I don't know if he lost a rep. He certainly didn't lose one that I saw. Wound up picking off like three or four passes, which, again, it's hard enough just to play that position in a one-on-one camp setting. It's even more difficult to intercept one pass, let alone three or four. But, yeah, man, that's a dude that, kind of similar to Carson, is in the 2028 class, hasn't blown up yet, but he's going to. He is going to.
Yeah, I was talking to our buddy, Colin Kennedy, and it was right after the first group. I mean, he was sitting up against the goalpost, and I said, "What do you think of this cat over here?" And he goes, "That's the dude right there." I said, "I know, but what'd you think of him?" And we started talking about everything. You went pretty deep into everything that we talked about, and it something about him that sounds so technical, and it's boring to people when we talk about it, but if you watch his feet, there is no false step coming out of his break.
No.
Ever. It might have been the most, for as long and rangy as he is at, like, what, he's like 6'3"? Right? Like, I think he measured out like 6'3", right? And as long as he is, those guys normally have issues transitioning out of breaks. So that's why they end up being safeties, because they can open their hips up, but they can't come out of their breaks really fast and at a sharp angle and without having to false step, or it's just not smooth. He is so smooth. Everything about him is smooth. Mm-hmm. He, and look, Mikhail McCreary is the same way. Both, like, Mikhail McCreary is a lot taller than people give him credit for, by the way. He's a lot longer than people give him credit for. Mm-hmm. I think he's only listed at like 6'1". It felt like he was bigger than 6'1". It probably in his shoes, right? Like, he did have really thick slides on, those big, thick ones that people wear. But I felt like he was like a half an inch taller than you and me, which, in the world of being a DB, that's amazing, yeah, particularly in the SEC. His frame is awesome. And obviously, this is a four-star commit for Oklahoma already in the 2027 class. Just, I shot a video and I said, did you have an interception yet? And he goes, no. So he goes out and he doesn't get an interception in the video I shoot. I take my phone down. He goes back out. I'm literally walking towards the offensive line. I turn to watch it, and he picks it off. He looks over at me, slams the ball down, and, like, flexes. And I got it. And he was so mad. He said he dropped, like, three leading up to that. So, but then he had, like, three other ones after that. Like, he finally, like, the dam broke and everything. He was picking the ball off left and right at that point. So, he dominated all the wide receivers, very much so. Looked a lot like the guy that we saw at the camp this summer, and why he got the offer and why OU pushed so hard for him. What was your, did you watch very much of Mikhail?
Yeah, he's an impressive prospect, man. And somebody that, as you mentioned, I think is probably closer to 6'2 than 6'1. I don't know that he's much bigger than that, but I think he's closer to 6'2 than 6'1, which by cornerback standards is... You'll take a guy like that. And yes, it's very, very clear, and we've learned this over the years, what type of cornerback Jay Valai likes. You know, Every so often, he'll go grab an Eli Bowen or a Jeremiah New. Like, you'll have some of those guys thrown in there. But Jay Valai loves him some, like, 6 foot, 6'1", rangy corners with really long arms. Corlin Guillory had an awesome freshman season at Oklahoma in 2025. He's kind of the poster child. But Mikhail McCreary is somebody that absolutely carries a lot of those same physical characteristics. And he is a really, really polished cornerback. I'm excited to see how early he makes an impact at Oklahoma, assuming he does indeed follow through and sign with the Sooners, which I don't think there's any reason to doubt that right now. But yeah, McCreary was impressive, and a guy that you'd figure probably going to be playing in that game next year.
Yes. Well, yeah. So he was behind Eric Richards when they did the, you know, all the guys that stood behind him for 27-28. This is how you earn getting into the game, all that type of stuff. And remember, we didn't see it. So I walk over to Mikhail and I'm like, hey, man, were you not back there? Well, what happened is they made him cover up his OU shirt and put on. So we had been seeing him in an Oklahoma jacket the whole time. And they made him cover it up with a All-American jacket to stand behind Eric Richards. And yeah, it was a cool deal for him. He said he's excited. He almost got to play in it this year. There was a defensive back that got dinged up a little bit and got cleared. But they had him on the phone. They had him set up to go, and they had to call him back and tell him, nah, you're going to go next year. Not
which kind of sucks. But
that does suck. That does suck. Because he said he was so excited about it. But it is what it is. First time we got to see Jaden Petit in person.
Oh, my goodness.
Holy crap.
That kid looks like $1 million. I mean, he's standing there, and he's every bit of 6'4", 220.
Man. Yes.
But especially for a wide receiver, it's another thing to read those measurables. It's another thing to see it in person, especially when you're seeing him stand next to, like, offensive tackles there on the sideline. I mean, he's got such broad shoulders that the difference in size between him and, you know, your typical junior / senior in high school offensive tackle, some of the guys that he was standing alongside the sidelines or standing alongside on the sidelines at the game that are like offensive, defensive linemen, man, he doesn't look much smaller than that. Like, he looks very comparable in size to them. So we didn't get to see him play. He did not participate in the game, didn't want to risk anything right before he shows up to Norman and goes through winter testing. But man, when you pair the tape, his outstanding senior tape at St. John Neumann High School down in Florida, with the physical specimen that you see in person when you encounter Jaden Petit, there is a reason that we've and maybe talked about this guy more than any other prospect in Oklahoma's 2026 signing class, because it is all there. And then some.
Oh, yeah. Like, he might be the guy that you look at that could come in and if you ruffle some feathers, I guess.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term. And really make way into the roster and into the depth chart. And I think, you know, from talking to people, that's kind of the hope, is that he can be one of the other big wide receivers for them. I people talk about it. Oklahoma only rotated, what, 3 or 4 guys all year at wide receiver. And that was out of necessity, not out of want.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people need to understand that that's not what you should expect moving forward. There is going to be a deeper rotation. I bet you see 6 wide receivers a game now moving forward. You're going to see the top 3 guys 70% of the snaps, 75% of the snaps, but other guys are going to get 10, 15 snaps a game. And I think that's big moving forward for Oklahoma. And you know, maybe Jaden Petit can be that guy for Oklahoma that can be that 5th, 6th wide receiver in the depth chart and make some waves. He has that potential. He has that size. He has that body that is super, super impressive, as Parker talked about. lastly, got to see, you know, Jonathan Hatton, got to watch a couple other guys, you know, for Oklahoma. Trying to think who else am I missing off the top of my head in that game.
Well, Elijah Harmon didn't play.
Yeah, Elijah Harmon didn't play. Is there anybody else?
No, it was just Hatton and then Epson Robertson.
Yeah. I liked what I saw out of Jonathan Hatton. We didn't get to see a whole lot because they used him pretty sparingly. But he scored.
He did. Had a one-yard touchdown run.
And everybody talked about how much they liked him in practices, so there's that. Elijah Harmon, man. You talk about a dude that's kind of redistributed his body a little bit. If you go back and look at the photo that I took last year and look at who what he looks like now, it's like a completely different human being. And he is going to be very good. He was hurt his whole junior season. He will be playing in the game next year, per him. He's already been invited, apparently. And expectations are high for him. You got him, you got Roberson, and then you're probably going to end up with one more defensive tackle in 27. I don't know who that's going to be just yet. But this class, Parker, it's third on three right now. I think it's one on 24/7 Sports. If you were to guess, where do you think it ends up?
I'll say it winds up number three. How about that? Say it doesn't. Because practically speaking, it's the number one class in the country. It is. Yeah. If you factor in all of the commits instead of just like the top three or four or whatever it is that they're doing right now, Oklahoma by far, by a runaway margin, has the number one class in the country. So I think Oklahoma is going to stay in the top five unless something on the level of Lincoln Riley's departure back in 2021 shakes this program to its core, unless they just come crash landing to earth in 2026 and go like that 5-7. I don't see any way this isn't a top five class in the country. And there's a very real world in which a lot of Oklahoma's work is done before official visit season rolls around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's entirely plausible that Oklahoma could have 20 commits by the time OVs start happening. They have 13 right now.
They do. And they're on the verge of getting 14 and 15 before the month's over. When we talk about it, Zane Rowe is set to announce here in the next few weeks. And you know what? I said I didn't know who the other defensive tackle is going to be. That might be him. The way his body keeps growing and growing and growing, and he's well aware of it. Like, he's not naive. I think that's something people need to realize about Zane Rowe. You talk about somebody that's smart and understands what's going on. I don't know that he is going to end up being a defensive end. I just don't. He's what, 265, 270 already?
That's your new Nigel Smith.
That is your new Nigel Smith. How do I do this without upsetting people that are watching this? Nigel Smith was always going to be a defensive tackle to us. And there's a reason why Todd Bates and Miguel Chavis and Todd Bates were always there whenever they were recruiting Nigel Smith. Similarly, that's happening with Zane Rowe. Mm-hmm. He's more twitchy than Nigel Smith.
Yeah.
I mean, this dude plays tight end. And he plays at an elite level. He can move. He's really good. And he's always loved Oklahoma. It was always like, the funny thing is it's always been like Georgia came around, Texas Tech, Texas A&M, LSU, Alabama. They've all come calling. Ohio State, everybody's come calling for him.
I made this remark the other day. I don't know that there's ever been a time where Oklahoma was second for Zane Rowe. I think there have been times that other schools have pulled even with the Sooners. I don't know that OU has ever outright lost the lead.
I would agree. Totally agree with that. He has always been an Oklahoma guy. Like, goes to the camps. He shows up to their games all the time. He shows up to practice. The very first spring practice they had, who was there? Zane Rowe. Literally 2 weeks after he decommitted from Oklahoma. And we're like, what is going on? Well, it's because when he said Oklahoma will always be one of my top schools, he meant it when he decommitted. And there it is. I like where Oklahoma stands with Gabriel Osborne Jr. from Mustang, who I think, by the way, that whole the whole OU staff was there the other day at his basketball game. I think, and I was talking to some other people about this ranking as well, don't be shocked if he doesn't, over the next 3 or 4 months, become a top 100 player. Don't be shocked.
Is he not yet?
I don't think he is for on three. You have to fact check me on that, but I don't think he is yet. Please fact check me. I hope I'm wrong.
I'm fact checking.
Thank you.
Getting fact checked as we speak. Wow, you're right. So 24/7 has him at number 75 overall.
Correct.
ESPN has him at number 151. Rivals has him at number 300.
So I was told, don't be shocked the way he plays back. People are starting to see it now. There was a dunk that was circulating that he did the other day that it just blew everybody's mind all over the internet. My son was the one that showed it to me. And he's going to be, I was specifically told, if he gets anywhere outside the range of 30 to 75, there's something wrong with the rankings at the end of the day, because he's that good and he's that talented. And we're talking about end of the cycle. Mm-hmm. So don't be shocked if he's not pushing 5-star or close to it by the end of the cycle. Now, I'm not predicting him to be a 5-star. I think he has a chance to. Of the players that Oklahoma's after, I think he's up there as far as the ability to be a 5-star guy. By the way, speaking of guys that have a chance to blow back up, and I'm going back to 26 here, Jake Krell just may have saved his ranking with a lot of people the way he performed at the Under Armour practices and games once again. I talked to so many people, Parker, that were just glazing that dude about what he did at the Under Armour camp or the Under Armour game, practices in the game. I mean, but everybody harps back on his size. And I'm like, R. Mason Thomas exists. Eric Stryker existed, right? Like, these dudes existed.
Good players play good football.
Weird.
And I tell you, like, Jake Krell's ranking it matters for another 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That's about it. The cycle wraps in February. At that point, all anyone cares about is, okay, what can you do for me in 2026? And Jim Nagy said it on signing day. He said, we expect that Jake Krell is a guy that's going to be on the field for us in 2026. That was the only player he expressed that about in the entire class. Jake Krell was the only guy that Jim Nagy went on a limb and said, we expect that guy to be making a difference for us next year.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say that's the only guy he feels that way about, but I thought it very notable that he made it a point to express that sentiment with regard to Jake Krell.
Yeah, no doubt. One last dude at the combine that I want to, well, two guys I want to make note of, 2029 quarterback Trevor Scott from Modern Day High School. Absolute dude. Absolute dude. He was in my son's group, and they were in the same rotation the whole time. I got to watch him a little bit. Holy crap.
That's a big old tall lefty kid, right?
Yeah, he's good, man. Mm-hmm. He's so good. And then Hayden Green, 2028 wide receiver out of North Crowley.
That was really good. Very good player.
Yep. So, and I do think Oklahoma will at least kick the tires with both those guys. You just got to expect that. I will make a bet that Trevor Scott is a Trojan. My odds are probably pretty good being from modern day. You would think, right?
You would.
Yeah. North Crowley, I don't know. But anyways. Yep. All right. That's going to do it for this version of the OU Insider Advisor Sooners podcast powered by Riverwind Casino. If you are not subscribed to OU Insider, it is only 50% off right now. And it ends at the end of the month. You got to get a hold of it. We have been one of the top selling sites on On3, and we cannot thank you so very much. It's been crazy the amount of just support you guys have given us. When we say that to you and we say we're blessed to be able to do this job and to do this, and we really appreciate your support, we mean it. Like, wholeheartedly mean it.
And I don't mean it. I'm being insincere.
There you go. Parker's insincere. I mean it.
No, we truly do appreciate all of you.
I mean, sincerely appreciate it. Thank you guys for everything you've done. I'll put, when this gets posted, I'll put the link below on the YouTube for the 50% off. So if you guys want to go and click and subscribe, there is so much more information. Like, we haven't talked about 95% of the stuff that's on our board. There's a lot of backstories for Jaden Hardy. There's a backstory for, who was the other one? There's a backstory for that I wrote.
PJ.
Well, there's a third one.
Sammy, right?
Yes, it was Sammy. Sammy Omosego, PJ. Jaden Hardy. There's backstories on their entrances into the portal. I mean, and they're really like, they're worth the price of admission. I promise you. And there's backstories to all the commitments. There's notes on who's coming soon, portal, targets. We've got all that for you over there on OU Insider VIP. Plus, the community is hopping. I have a mailbag that I'm about to do and answer it, and I don't know how I'm going to do this because there's 80-something questions on there. Don't know how I'm going to decipher which ones I'm going to pick, but that ought to tell you the size of the board, how big it is, how many people are on there. There's 80 questions. We have...
Yeah. Well, that means there's at least 80 people.
But there's thousands and thousands on there. So just to be clear to everybody. And we can't thank you guys enough for that. It's awesome. So again, 50% off right now during the portal and toward the end of the cycle for 2026. It's going to be an all-month thing. We can't thank you enough for signing up and joining us if you so choose to do so. Also, subscribe to this YouTube. It's free. Free. YouTube, podcasting platform, whatever. You subscribe. We love you. It helps us with advertisers. It helps us bring you the free content that we are able to bring you. The more you subscribe to these things, they're free, the more we are able to sell that to potential suitors and vendors. That way we can continue to bring this content to you guys and travel and go and do the things that we do to bring you the free content that we are able to do. So thank you guys so very much for everything that you do. But that's going to do it for this version of the OU Insider and the Visor Sooners podcast powered by Riverwind Casino. For Parker Thune, my name is Brandon Drum. You guys have a blessed day.